I think most actors who start out on the stage, that's their first love, is the stage. And I'm no exception. Going to be involved until very, very late. And everybody would say to me, well, are you going to be in the new Dallas? I said, I don't know. And they would say, well, they can't do it without you. And I said, oh, you're wrong. Yes, they can. And then I met with Cynthia and Michael and for lunch, and they said, well, no, you know, they never thought that I would not be included. I said, well, that's great, because now I can tell my friends that I am going to be involved.
Welcome to Ewing Barbecue for a very special minisode, where we are remembering the life of Ken Kercheval, who died just this past week on April 21st, 2019, at the age of 83. Ken was born July 15th, 1935, in Wolcott, Indiana, to Marine Doc Kercheval, a local physician, and former Christine Reber, a registered nurse. He was raised in Clinton, Indiana. As a teenager, Kercheval often was with his dad in the operating room, which is, kids could be with their dads in the operating room?
Maybe back in the day.
Back in the day? Well, okay.
That's a little strange.
And I'm just letting everyone know, I'm actually reading this off of Wikipedia, so please don't hold me to any of this. And if anyone has any corrections to this, please let us know, and we will correct it on our next episode. So it says that he was often in the operating room with his dad and once put 2 stitches in his sister Kate when she had an appendectomy.
That's weird.
Wow. He attended Indiana University, not to become a doctor, but to major in music and drama. He later studied at the University of the Pacific, and starting in 1956 at the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York City under Stanford Meisner. He made his debut on Broadway in 1962 in Something About a Soldier. He appeared off-Broadway in 1992 in the revue Berlin to Broadway with Kurt Weill, and he can be heard on that cast recording. His other theater credits include The Apple Tree, Cabaret, and Here's Where I Belong. In 1966, he appeared as the title character in the original Broadway production of Fiddler on the Roof. He gained his first television role, playing the part of Dr. Nick Hunter, the first on Search for Tomorrow in 1966. His later soap opera roles were in The Secret Storm and How to Survive a Marriage. His film credits include The Seven Ups with Roy Scheider, plus Fist. That's capital F, capital I, capital S, capital T, with Sylvester Stallone. In 1976, he co-starred in 2 episodes of The Adams Chronicles as James Madison. Of course, he's best known for playing R. Cliff Barnes on Dallas. He was originally cast as Ray Krebs before being given the role of Cliff Barnes. In the 80s, he made numerous appearances on Super Password and the $25,000 Pyramid. In 1991, he appeared in the reunion movie I Still Dream About Jeannie, which I totally remember that, playing Mr. Simpson, a guidance counselor at Anthony Nelson Jr.'s high school, and was the temporary master for Anthony Jr.'s mother, Jeannie, played by Barbara Eden. This was because Larry Hagman, who played Tony Nelson, was not available to reprise his role, as he had not yet finished his run on Dallas. The irony, of course, being that I Dream of Jeannie was Hagman's first major series, and the actors' respective Dallas characters despised each other. He also appeared as a ballroom dance teacher in the independent film California Casanova. Hmm. In 2006... he appeared in a musical at Southampton's Mayflower Theater and Plymouth's Theater Royal in the performance of White Christmas, playing the general. In 2007, he reprised his role at the Edinburgh Playhouse and the Wales Millennium Center in Cardiff. He reprised his role in Sunderland in 2010. He also returned to his role playing the general in The White Christmas at the Lowry in Salford Quay with Coronation Street actor Wendy Peters and Brookside regular Claire Sweeney from November 2012 until January 2013. He was a lifelong smoker and he is a lung cancer survivor, having had part of his lung removed in 1994. He had 5 children from 3 marriages. And as of 2012, he had 6 grandchildren. And he died on April 21st in 2019 of pneumonia at age 83.
On Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday.
Well, that was sad when I saw it. Is he one of the original cast members that is on every single episode? Isn't there 2 or 3 of them that are on every single episode?
He wasn't in every single episode, but he was there from day one until the end.
I think I read that he and Larry are the only ones that were there the entire run. Is that correct?
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
And he was not in the opening credits in the miniseries, as you noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was still like a guest star cameo.
Because he wasn't in episode 2, which...
Right.
Was just...
We could have used him in episode 2.
Yes. He could have done something.
I always loved Cliff. Like, Cliff is one of my favorite characters. I love him. And I have to say that one of the things that made me sad is in the new series, I didn't really like how they portrayed Cliff. Because I didn't think it was the Cliff that we knew from the original series.
No. I don't think so either. I think they made him a lot, I don't want to say meaner, but they made him more of like, I guess,
dark.
Maybe all the years of torment. Yeah, they made him dark. That's exactly what it is.
He dressed all in black, too. He was the man in black. No offense to Johnny Cash, but...
They made him this rich, mean, evil bastard.
Right.
Dark.
Which, that was movie. Not ever Cliff.
Like,
Cliff. No,
he tried so hard, but he had a heart of gold.
Yeah.
He was the lovable loser.
Yes. I mean, I feel like he really had a lot of Digger in him, like Digger's self-destructive behavior.
Yes.
That made him weaker so that he could never really conquer JR. And that was also kind of what made me love him a little bit.
Right. You always root for the underdog. And it's
of course.
I do.
But that was a great thing about Dallas is... JR was a bastard, but you know, all the characters had their quirks, but like taking JR as the bastard, he loved his father. Mm-hmm. He loved his son. He had the redeeming qualities, you know, and Cliff, you know, he had those redeeming qualities, you know, until the new series.
Characters.
Yeah. Like the time I was thinking about today when they had the oil tanker collision. And Cliff was on the committee. He wanted to so crucify the Ewings, but Bobby said, Cliff, you know it was an accident. You just, you know, go with, you don't want to, you know what was right and what was wrong. And
he has the conscience.
Be guided by your moral compass. And in the end, he was. And he declared that it was an accident. And neither party was completely responsible. And, you know, that pissed off Carter McKay, but he showed that he had a conscience.
Right.
I agree. You love to hate Cliff, you know, in some things. And then, like you said, there's episodes later, I can think of a million, but they're way on the line that, you know, he does have a heart and he loves Pam. And, you know, he loves Christopher later.
Yeah.
So, you know, he is right. Human. It's just, I think all those years of the back and forth, you know, with him and JR maybe, and it tears you down after a while.
Yeah, you're constantly being beaten down. You're gonna snap at some point. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And
I love when he gets Oil Man of the Year, and he just gloats at that. I love that Oil Baron's Ball episode where he does.
I do too.
Gloats and like walks by the table and he's all like, heh, 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 heh. I got it, you didn't.
That's the one when JR shoved the dessert platter in his face.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
I will say that's one thing I'm looking forward to coming up on our later episodes. We talk about the very first, old Aaron's Ball one. That's one of my, I love that episode every time, every season they do that one. It's kind of what's the other one? The old Aaron's Ball and the barbecue.
It's funny because they never showed Christmas on the series they did on Knots Landing and all. And I always tell people, I said, the barbecues and the oil baron's balls were their version of Christmas or holidays.
I guess.
That's how I always thought of it.
I think the only time they ever mention an actual holiday is there's an episode where JR talks about buying, I think, perfume for Swellen for Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. And one of the times where she's trying to get, busy with him and he's all like, no. No.
Just so I've got this right in my head. So now we've lost another cast member.
Yeah.
So of the originals, we still have Linda Gray, Charlene Tilton,
Roger
Duffy, Steve Kinnaly. And then
Victoria Principal still with us.
And Victoria,
Is that it?
But then
I joked about the 40th. Is there going to be a 50th? And so I was like, as long as 80% of the cast members are still alive, and then Cliff died the next week. So now I'm
right.
But everybody else is in good health.
Right. Well, you have the strong supporting cast members, Morgan Brittany, Susan Howard, and Priscilla Presley, and all those
people.
Lee McCluskey, who is actually on Facebook, I noticed.
He's my Facebook friend. Thank you very much. I'm sure he doesn't follow anything I do. Yeah, he accepted my friend request years ago, probably before he understood what Facebook was.
Who was that?
So Lucy's husband, Mitch.
Because I'm
a huge Lee McCluskey fan. I followed his work on several shows, and I think he's a really underrated actor. And so, yeah, I love him. He went to Juilliard.
No, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's an actor. You can tell he can act. But the Lucy thing, they don't give him a lot
much to do, right?
They kind of just put him there for a pretty face and give him some lines and maybe a plot here and there. But
and I do have Lee issued a statement on about Ken. I wish to honor Ken Kershaval's life and legacy. Ken was always kind and generous to me and Carla, his wife. His deep and abiding curiosity, coupled with a knowledge of history, collecting, and a love for arts and crafts, made him stand out from many other actors as unique and substantive. When I first filmed on location in Dallas in 1980, Ken took Carla and me under his wing and drove us around to all the antique stores and was quite the collector of American glass and pottery, which gave us a chance to find a few treasures ourselves and spend time together exploring. I honor his life and memory with a sense of gratitude to a fellow actor and old friend, but most importantly to a man who gave of himself in ways that shared his curiosity about life and love of the arts that inspired and fascinated all those who had the good fortune to spend time with him. May grace attend you, Ken, and Godspeed as you journey beyond the stars. Lee and Carla.
Aww.
Yeah, I saw some of those on Twitter of the main cast members that said things about him,
Yeah, and Audrey, who played his sister Afton, actually emailed me a thing to throw up for the Ultimate Dallas site. She said, "Afton and Cliff, through the years, our characters shared the world with their flaws and their virtues and a great love affair. Ken was a brilliant actor and scene partner, always challenging the norms, full of surprises, art imitating life. He was my friend and he will be missed."
I don't know. That was a sad thing. Of course, when Larry Hagman died, I was about to die. This was sad. This is like Cliff Barnes. The other half of Dallas. There wouldn't have been those storylines. There's so many episodes that was about something about him or him and JR, when he was going to find Pam or whatever. There was always... There would not have been Dallas without Cliff Barnes.
And to do an interview with him in 2012, but it was just a pleasure to talk to him. he just had a lot of stories about his time in the theater and on the set, and one of his favorite particular scenes, which I know a lot of you will probably remember, was when he brought the shoebox to Miss Ellie to end the feud after the Dandy Dandridge episode. He met her in the park, and he asked for her forgiveness.
Yeah.
And he thought that, he said that was one of his favorite scenes.
See,
that he...
Cliff is amazing.
Yeah, because he understood Jock's perspective after Dandy showed up at that barbecue and tried to take a shot at him.
Right.
After the whole thing, but...
Do you guys have a favorite Cliff episode that you'd like to just throw out there?
Mine was, I already mentioned, was when he won Oil Man of the Year. I think I really like that one. And I love any time, I mean, honestly, to this day, anytime I get takeaway Chinese and eat it out of the container, I think about Cliff.
I just said that Saturday.
I almost ordered some this week in his memory.
Every single time.
It seemed like every woman that I was involved with had been with JR first. And so when Deborah came along, no, it was just me. And I used to call her my fresh girl. I remember the first scene that she did in the show with me, and it was, she was brand new in the show, and it was a scene with she and I sitting in bed eating Chinese food and her in very little clothing. Well, God bless her, she was nervous. I mean, she was nervous about being in the show to begin with because it was so big at that time. But she was also nervous and sitting there with next to nothing on, sitting across from a man she'd never seen before, you know. So, yeah, but she, and that was nice. She's very nice. She's a very nice person. And I felt bad for her that day. I really did, because I could only put myself in her position to be coming into a show that was so marvelously successful. And, you know, that would be like me sitting there with somebody in a Speedo. And I don't think that, you know, that would have not been too comfortable. God bless her.
I will say, two for me, I love, I can't even think of the season or episode or anything, but the one where they arrest Cliff for the attempted murder of JR. You know, I just like that episode. I don't know why. And then also pretty much any episode in the season where he is married to Jamie Ewing. I love all those.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a weird season. It's kind of like a throw together ensemble of all these different things. But I just liked Jamie and him together.
Yeah, I like Jamie too.
A few scenes that stood out. I love when Bobby was kidnapped because they mistook him for JR, and that's coming up in season two.
Right.
And they had to meet the kidnappers, and Cliff had to work with the Ewings to get him back as the decoy. And there were shots fired, and he accused JR of, like, trying to have him killed or something like that. And then, of course, we all remember the scene with where he meets his mother and the licorice in the bowl, and her favorite candy.
Right, yeah.
And he just starts crying, you know, Mama, I got your favorite candy. And then when he tries to get post-surgery Pam to come back to Dallas from Dr. Gordon's office, and he was just so broken up about anytime he taunted JR or barged in on a Ewing meeting or something like that, just, you know, just the way he was always, you know. But another great scene was when Bobby had just beat the snot out of Tommy McKay for putting April in the hospital.
Yes, I love that episode.
And they were outside her room, and McKay comes storming up and threatens, you know, declares war on them.
Right.
And just that one shot of JR, Bobby, and Cliff looking like a united front for the first time ever. It just was like, whoa, the tables have turned. Yeah. You know, they're united. Mm. There were just so many great scenes. JR and Cliff discovered that Michelle had sold half of Ewing Oil to both of them so that they were partners.
Yeah.
And
I liked her too. I like just the mean women.
Yeah, just any, you really can't pick.
It's really hard to pick.
So many, 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 many fans know so much more about the show than I do. They'll say, oh, you remember that scene when you had with so-and-so? I don't know. They could talk. Be about a baseball game that happened in 1948. I don't know.
He was such a scene stealer when he would show up on camera, and When Afton left him to go back to Biloxi after the police gave her permission after Bobby was shot, and she dumped him. In fact, Audrey posted that on her social media when she was saying just recently for her goodbye to Ken. You could just see the isolation when he was alone at the end.
When Cliff takes Pam out drinking the night after her divorce from Bobby's final. I love that.
I forgot about that one. I remember the scene so vividly the next day when the car pulls over. Yes. Mark Grayson's weird car, his like rich person car, their own.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Yes.
Mark Grayson. I wonder where John Beck is now.
Yeah,
I'd
like to know that too.
Yeah.
Morgan Brittany said, "So sad to hear of his passing. I loved Kenny, and working with him on Dallas was an absolute honor. Rest in peace. I love you."
Aww.
These are making me sad.
Yeah. But they need to be heard because.
Yeah.
And we did get Victoria actually emailed us and said, "Ken Kershaw. Supremely talented, a wonderful storyteller, slyly humorous, and always unpredictable. I hope you and Larry and Barbara are throwing a Texas-style heavenly party. Rest in peace, sweet brother, XO."
Oh, I love that.
Julie Gonzalo, rest in peace, Mr. Kershaval. It was a pleasure to play your daughter.
I liked that one. And damn it, I missed the new one, too.
Yeah. And since we did just do episode 2, Charlene said, "Ken was such a wonderful man. I am sorry Lucy and Cliff Barnes didn't have more scenes together. He was one of my all-time best actors. God bless you, Kenny."
They didn't have.
They didn't.
I wonder what would have happened if they had an affair.
She talked to him at the barbecues a lot. You know, she'd be like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" You know. But that's really the only time they're together.
Yeah, they didn't really.
They didn't really have reason for that.
Another quote. I just have lost another great one that I had the honor of working with. Ken Kershaval was a legend from the original Dallas, and luckily for us, he returned to the new Dallas. It was an honor, my friend. Hope you and Larry Hagman are having a drink and a laugh smiling down on us. Josh Henderson. Wishing peace to Ken Kershaval, I worked with him twice in his career and would love to have seen him on the stage in his early days. Brenda Strong. And this one. What a special human being Ken was, an amazing actor that always brought magic to a scene, no matter what it was. He was a joy to work with for all those Dallas years and a friend for years after that. Ken Kershaval will be missed on so many levels. I am sure Larry has welcomed you beautifully. Linda Gray. So any other thoughts on Ken?
No, just that he will be missed. And he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, it's very sad. Rest in peace, Ken. We'll miss you.
Rest in peace.
Godspeed.
To the very beginning, Cliff would get defeated by JR. And then come again. And then again and again. And finally, I went to Leonard Kasdan, the producer, writer, and all that sort of thing. Because there was another time where Cliff got really whacked down. And I said, you know what? I'm not sure exactly how to play this because, you know, for this guy to keep coming back, he would have had to have gone and gotten a lobotomy because it's just, it's ridiculous. And I said, you know, you only got so many cheeks. And he says, no, Kenny, you got 5. I said, 5? And he said, yeah. And he pointed to his cheeks on his mouth. He pointed to his cheeks on his butt. And he said, you know, So you still got 5. So at that point in time, I thought as an actor, well, how am I going to do this and have an audience have any belief in this guy, that he's not just some kind of an imbecile that keeps, you know, come back up to get whipped? And I thought, well, the only way is to just to add some humor to it, just to say, like, you know, dust yourself off, get up, and start all over again. So I think at that point in time, when I really tried to add humor to his character, like, we knew with him, but, you know, he'll come back. He'll come back. And I think that was kind of the crux of the whole show, like old Hatfields and McCoys that, you know, they just kept dueling it out all the time. And I think that that was, I'm not patting myself on the back. I think that was like the impetus that kept the show going.